So I've been loving these sermons on caring for the flock, lessons I've learned from raising chickens. We've been having a lot of fun with them. Last week was a really strong word from the Lord about the watchman and his role in honor of Bert, my beautiful little rooster that ended up being killed. But this week is a little lighter note. I love how God teaches us through nature. He does teach us through nature. The awareness of God is in his creation. And so he's always speaking to us through his creation. And he teaches through many different ways and parables and analogies and nature. And everyday life shows us the character of God and his kingdom. It is revealed through what he has made. And so I love visual aids. I love, Brian will put some pictures up here soon, and we'll have some more beautiful pictures up there that I can show you. But I love the stories that, you know, that I can put an image to, don't you? I like to see things as well. So I'm always thankful for dreams, visions, visuals that he gives to help us have stronger understanding of what he's trying to tell us. And it's those things that makes parables come alive. So when Jesus taught in parables, he would show us pictures in our mind, and you can read them now. How many know the parable of the house built on the sand and the one built on the rock? Doesn't it give you an image in your mind? Immediately you see a house on the sand and a storm coming and it not being able to stay strong. And then you see a house built on a rock, and I always see a lighthouse, you know, on a rock, and the storms are coming, and instead of it being afraid, it shines out light to those who are in trouble and says, hey, this is the way. Christ is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there's no other. Jesus is the way. And so I love that he's always giving us pictures. He said, I'm going to teach in parables, and some are going to hear and some are not going to hear. Teaching them, many will close their ears and they will not hear. Their hearts will be hardened. But to those that do hear, to those that have a tender heart, they will get an understanding of God, and they will get a heavenly principle that he is trying to teach them. So I try to always keep my heart open so that I can hear from the Lord. And there are distractions that at times try to hinder us, but if we can press those away, we're going to hear from God on a daily basis. He's always speaking to us through his word, through circumstances of life, and to all the things around us. And so these teachings are lessons and experiences while I was raising my chickens, and ways that God was speaking to me and giving me understanding. And I have to say this, for those that are on radio and on Facebook, you can't see the pictures. And I'm sorry, because I got great pictures. But my hope is to take all of these lessons and to put them in a book and then be able to sell them. I think that would be a blessing to so many people to have like a little chicken devotional and all the lessons that I've learned along the way. So that's my hope, is that I'll be able to do that. So may the Lord bless this teaching today. So one day, I just woke up and I said, why did I get these stupid chickens? And that was the first thing that came out of my mouth. I'm sorry. It was just a frustrating thing. As you can see from the parables that I've taught you already so far, my experience with chickens and my daughter's experience with chickens were two different things, okay? She had this glorious experience. Everything's great and wonderful. She didn't have any problems. And on the other hand, there's Rebecca. And Rebecca is getting a lot more biblical understanding through chickens. And so, you know, my experiences were a little bit different than hers. And I tell you, one day I just got exasperated with all the things that had happened. I mean, my rooster's gotten killed, and then my chickens got killed by the dogs. And then there's all of these things, you know, from predators to frenemies to all the expenses and the cost involved in raising chickens. I mean, I got to a place where I was just a little frustrated. And I really, in my frustration, heard my own answer when I said, because even though it was hard, it brought me great joy. And most of the things in life that we plow through that are difficult, ultimately, if we'll stay with God and allow Him to be able to teach us things, they become joyful to us. We're actually thankful for the journey. We can get to places in our life where we're thankful for the trouble and the difficulty and the trials. And it was James that said, "Count it all joy, brethren, when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways." So if we go back to the beginning of that, he said, "Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the test of your faith works patience." So all of these things that I had been experiencing and going through and the difficulties of them, God was really teaching me so many things that were valuable. And I realized that there is a joy that comes in perseverance. There is a joy that comes in going all the way through and seeing God in the process. And I love Psalm 16 and 11. It says, You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So God uses everything in life. If we will permit Him, He will use everything in life to teach us about Himself. He wants to reveal Himself. He wants to make Himself known to us. And He was using my journey with chickens to teach me valuable things about God and life, heavenly nuggets that I could see God in a way that maybe I would have never been able to see it before. And even though there were times of frustration, even though there were times of difficulty, there were times when I cried, there were times when it was hard, it was joyful because I was seeing things from God's perspective. And, you know, He said, in this life you will have tribulation, but cheer up because I've overcome the world and deprived it from power. And so there's so much joy when we realize that the lessons that we're learning, even in the difficult times, are producing a weight of glory and a joy in our heart, in our life, because we're getting to see things from a different perspective. I'm hearing a song as I'm standing here. You know, the God of the mountain, the God of the valleys is still God of the mountain. And when things go wrong, He makes it right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God of the night. And if we can perceive it, and if we can hear, if we'll clear out the wax from our ears and remove any callousness or bitterness from my heart, from the hurtful things, then we can really, God can really do a work in us and show us things that will bring such joy into our lives. It will help us in our dealings with everyday life, in our dealings with people. It'll help us see things from an eternal perspective. And all of those things bring great joy to us. There had been moments with God, and it is true, deep moments where God would go into the deepest part of me and begin to heal wounds. If I had not had this experience with these chickens and little Peep being rejected and realizing that in my life I too had struggled with rejection, and then seeing everything from God's perspective saying, "I've been with you all this time. I've loved you all this time. In fact, because of your wounds, I held you even closer to me. That was joyful to me to think that God, in my darkest hours, was there for me. It's like the poem, Footprints in the Sand, you know, where there's these set of footprints on the beach, and there's two sets of footprints. But then when they look, when the person looked in the darkest days, there was only one set of footprints. And he became confused. And why, God, in my hardest times, in my most difficult hours, when I needed you the most, you're not there. You're not there beside me. You're not there. And that's when the Lord responded, oh, my child, in the darkest, most difficult days of your life, I carried you. That's why there's only one set of footprints, because you couldn't do it. So I was there to carry you through it. And so that is joyful, that you're having this intimacy in the darkest times of your life, this revelation that God never leaves us in the most horrific times of our life. He's there for us. And what a joy that is, that through all the things that we go through, loss and frustration, hurts and woundings, that there's a God who is there to bring us through those times and to reveal himself and to show himself to us. What a joy that is. God, through these lessons, began to change my perspective of the way that I saw things. He began to draw me into a deeper relationship with him. You think, how can God do all that with a bunch of chickens? Well, I'm going to tell you, you have to be like a little child to receive this kingdom. You got to be like a little kid. I'm seeing myself right now flashing before my face. I'm sitting on the couch with my dad. I've told you this story before, but I'm seeing it in my heart, and he's flicking my finger. I hated that. I hated it when he flicked my finger. He would do it and do it and do it and do it. But I would sit there because I loved Daddy holding my hand. I just love that. I'd let him do it all day long just for Daddy to hold my hand. Even the most painful things, the things that annoyed me the most, I would have sat there for the joy of having his hand in mine. There's a scripture that says, with the Lord, even every bitter thing is sweet. Because when you see it from God's perspective, you're glad that you're just there with him and he's with you. You can go through the bitterness for the sweetness of his presence, right? So I learned more about my Father, my Heavenly Father. His love was deeper for me than what I can perceive for myself. And it's the same for you. Paul said, I pray that you would know the depth and the length and the breadth and the height of the love of God that is in Christ, but it is unfathomable. Hard to perceive it, that God would love me and that he's using all of these different ways to speak and to try to reveal and make himself known to me. I loved getting to know him better in these lessons. I was more aware that he was teaching me eternal things that had natural application. I loved his care, and there were just moments where I began to understand his word in a way that if I just read it, that's one way to learn, but then read it and have the visual and have the application, I'm much more of a better learner that way. I learn by hearing. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of the Lord. But I also learn by having visual aids, and I think that's why God speaks to me so much in dreams. And I like having these examples that he was teaching me about eternal principles. He made me understand the reason why Jesus taught in parables. I began to understand why he taught in parables, because he wanted everybody to hear. He really wanted everybody to perceive and understand. And I knew that if we couldn't receive a simple parable, then our heart must have been really not into Jesus, not into what he wanted to teach us, or not into what he wanted us to understand and know. Because it does take a childlike spirit, and it does take an open heart to be able to perceive a God, even in the simplest of truths. He was giving me kingdom lessons, and I love that all through Matthew he's talking about kingdom, kingdom, kingdom. The kingdom of God is like, the kingdom of God is like, the kingdom of God is like. And his kingdom is not only an internal kingdom and a heavenly kingdom, but his kingdom never comes to an end. And so I love that he was teaching me things that are eternal. He was making known to me the path of life that only he can give. And he was giving me understanding through his perspective, not my natural carnal mind perspective, but through his perspective, analogies and understanding. And this brought me so much joy. It's just an intimate relationship. You know your best conversations that you've had with a friend or your mother or your father or your spouse. You know those moments when y'all were dialoguing and it just felt like those were the most precious times. I remember being by my grandmother. She was 96 years old and she was dying in the hospital. She had lived on her own all of her life. She was 96 years old. She had always lived next to our house. I loved her so, so much. And I remember as she lay there in that bed, and I remember just seeing my grandmother there, and we were singing I'll Fly Away and Victory and Jesus. And there was this bond of family and unity. And this beautiful joy that was filling this room because of our relationship with God, and because he was revealing things in that moment. You know what he was saying by the analogy of my grandmother laying there? That you won't live forever, but those who trust in Jesus will live forever. That the body decays, but there is hope for eternal life if you have Christ as your Savior. That the faith that she stood for will be rewarded in the eternal. And there were so many things that I was learning. And as I sat there, everybody left the room when she passed away, but I stayed in there. And I'll never forget, the body released. Do you know, understand what I'm saying? And I realized, everybody's going to die. I hope we're ready for eternity. The principles of visuals and analogies and parables, they teach us eternal things. And I realized in that moment that my grandmother's life on earth was over, but it was just beginning on the other side, that she took one last breath here and then just moved into an eternal state. And oh, the joy that she was experiencing. Her little fingers weren't crooked anymore from arthritis, and she didn't have that limp sometimes when she would walk, and her skin wasn't yellow from her jaundice anymore. She was free, and she was in joyful places with God. God teaches us through the simplest things of life sometimes. He's always teaching. Wisdom is always speaking. He is wisdom, and he is always speaking if we listen. If we listen. Who knew that God could teach me so many lessons through chickens? What I loved about the most was that as I went about my chores, and even as I do this now, I was just constantly listening for another lesson. Daddy, give me another opportunity to hear you. Give me another lesson, Daddy. I found myself wanting to show him to show me more things, more. I wanted him to teach me more things. And I realized that it wasn't just that I wanted so much to learn more things, which I did. I wanted to be in his presence. Like a little girl sitting at her daddy's feet. My daddy used to pull out his guitar and he'd sing Mr. Frog Went A-Courtin', and he did ride, and he'd sing, Way Down Yonder in the Crawdab Hole. And us kids, we'd all get around my dad and we'd listen. And you just wanted to be there with your father. That's how the Father feels about you today. He just wants you to be with him. Sometimes he has lessons to teach you and things to say. Sometimes he wants to sing over you with songs. And sometimes he just wants you to hold his hand and be there. Because it strengthens relationship. I just fell in love with his presence. I fell in love with his presence and the joy of being with him and all the things that he was imparting to me, spiritual truths that had meanings and things that I could learn and apply to everyday life. It really was amazing, and it still is amazing. Just this past week, as I'm going out in 6-degree weather to feed the chickens, I could hear the Lord saying, "You see, love has no limits. You go out when it's pretty. You go out when it's cold. You go out when it's easy. You go out when it's hard." And he's telling me all of these things. I have much more respect for farmers. Yeah, because there's, you know, the cows still need fed. You still have to take care of the critters that are outside, and it's freezing cold, and the temperatures are down in the zeros, and they still got to go do their job. There's no Sundays off. There's no holidays off, right? And isn't that another principle? That we should never take time off for God. We always need him. We always need to be with our Father. We need to be fed every day, right? We need to be fed from God. What are you teaching me today? What does the Word say today, Daddy? Let me be in your presence. More principles. More and more principles about life, that we need God. And it is an amazing experience. It really has been an amazing experience. He could take a difficult situation, as I have had many of them, and have now. We're on this lesson number 6, so you've heard all of my lessons. There have been many difficult situations, and he could turn it into a lesson about faith or wisdom and perseverance and rejection and all of these things, and make it joyful. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. That is a small statement with huge meaning. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him. Enjoy him. Enjoy him forever. Sometimes I get so stressed out, and I go into the prayer room, and I'm thinking about this, and I'm thinking about that, and I'm praying about this, and I'm praying about that, and I think, have I enjoyed him? I think if I would do that first, then maybe I wouldn't feel so stressed out about all the other things. Have I enjoyed God? Have I loved him? Have I felt his love? Have I quieted myself in his presence? and allowed him to speak to my heart with his peace. There's something beautiful and joyful about being in the presence of the Lord. He also spoke to me this week about the importance of praise. And Cherie mentioned that this morning to me, and I was like, oh, she's been reading my mind, because God spoke to me and he said, when you are in great warfare, you need to worship and remind yourself of all that I am. And that brought me joy. I woke up and turned on the Revelations 19:1 song and began to worship, and I said, I just got to turn this on. It'll break the atmosphere. It'll stop the words of the enemy. And I turned it on as loud as I come, and Brian comes in the kitchen, and I'm blaring the thing, and he just grabs me and holds me. There's something powerful in the presence of God. It breaks the enemy. It breaks the voice of the enemy and fills the atmosphere with his glory and his presence. And trust me when I say that his glory and his presence is a joy that nothing in this world, it's not something that someone can buy you. That is temporal. You get a new car in a few weeks, it'll be dirty and you got to make the payment, and that's not joyful. Right? You get a new house and you've got, oh, I've got to clean and I've got to get things in order. Oh, that one room back there, right, Maddie? That one room, I still got to, oh, we got to make that payment, you know. And all of a sudden, all your excitement and enthusiasm of getting in the house is like, okay. But with Jesus, there is a joy. It's indescribable. It's indescribable what he can do in the inward being. How he can take my chaos and turn it into peace in just a few moments. How that he can erase my past and tell me that he loves me. How that he can remove lies and deceptions with one word. The joy of being in God's presence. I remember when I had little babies, and I had five kids. I had three that were three and under, plus I had older children, and I had to get up at 5 a.m. just to get a shower, and I've got little kids everywhere, and Brian was out of town at that time in his job every week, and I had all these kids to take care of. And I remember days when I would just weep because I had all these children to care for. And I felt so overwhelmed. And I can remember nursing one and sitting in a chair and thinking to myself, how am I going to spend time with God? But God understands. I remember sitting in that chair, nursing one, and one fell asleep at my feet. And the Lord says, I hear you. I hear you. I know where you are. You're mine. Sometimes he just comes in like that. It's just a simple word. And it fills our heart with joy. We can make it another week. We can get it through another day because he lives in us. He understands us. The Bible says we don't have this high priest that doesn't understand our weaknesses or our infirmities or the struggles that we go through, because he suffered just like we did and was tempted in every way. In every way. You understand this. But yet he did not sin. He understands, so that when he was weary, right? He got tired and sat by the well to end up speaking a word of knowledge to a woman who had been married several times, and the one that she was with wasn't her husband, but he was speaking life to her. He felt the people. He understood. He could correct accurately because he knew the hearts of all men. I was reading, I think it was Debbie's post this week, and she said, God, through Christ, still approached Lazarus's tomb and wept, even though he knew that he was going to raise him from the dead. When he looked around and he saw the people, and he saw how death had had so much power, and even is it not at this hour that people are afraid of dying and they're scared? But Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he is dead, yet shall he live. That's joyful for all who believe. But he still felt the needs of the people. He still felt their pain. He knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. And even when we're at a funeral and we see our loved ones in a casket and it's difficult, he understands that tear. Jesus wept. He still wept with them, though he knows what's on the other side. Total joy. The presence of God forever. No more sin. No more darkness, no more temptation or evil, no more slander or wickedness. The Bible says that for the joy set ahead of him, Christ endured the cross. He despised that cross, you know, despising its shame. There was a shame attached to that cross. He was there completely naked and exposed. I know in a lot of the pictures they got the loincloth on. No, that's not how it was. He was completely naked and exposed before every person. He despised the shame of it. He was without sin. And yet he was willing to endure it for the joy set ahead of him. Why, you can get through this life. Yeah, you're going to go through difficulty if you're a believer in Jesus. Yes, you're going to go through rejection from other people. You're going to go through persecutions. You're going to go through trials. You're going to know what it's like to suffer at the hands of backbiters and backstabbers and all of those things. But the Bible says this, that there is joy on the other side. You can endure the shame of the cross. And we're all going to bear our cross. Because the cross is a part of this life. It's a part. That's why Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. What's on that cross? Losing sight of yourself and your own interest. And taking up your cross and following him. Why? Because on the other side of that cross is the power of the resurrection. On the other side of that cross is an empty tomb, an eternal life, and hope beyond this world. And that is joyful. That is joyful. Every morning, when I come out to the chickens to let them out into the chicken run, like I did this morning, they hear me coming. And all of a sudden, it's like quiet, and then I hear this, and I hear all this chattering. It starts chattering, loud chattering. You know, and all of this, lots of chatter. Anybody that's got chickens, they are verbal. I mean, me and them get along. Because I'm a talker, and they are too. And they hear me coming. And so I will open up the gate and open up the door, and I fling it open, and there they are. They're all looking at me, and I'm going, good morning. Good morning. How are you? Doing good today? Yeah, it's been a cold night. Everybody all right? Everybody okay? You know, and they're all, and they're coming over by the door, and they're looking at me, and they're all this stuff, and I grab all their favorite things. I grab their fruit. Marcia, they love that fruit, I'm telling you, and all of the things. They love their greens, and I get it all. I take it out in the chicken run. They're all inside, right? I haven't let the door down yet. And I go out there, and I'm spreading all the good things out there for them. I'm spreading out greens. I got mealworms to put out there. We got fresh fruit and grapes, and I scatter it all out. I get their grit. I get their calcium. I get their water, make sure everything. That's what God does for us every day. Let me see what good things I can do for you today. And we don't even perceive it. We don't perceive it sometimes. That's the beauty of parables. To perceive it, right? To understand it, to get a visual that every day we have what we have by the grace of God and the mercy and the kindness and the goodness of God. Everything. It's not of our own. Had He not provided us with strength and energy and wisdom, had He not given us what we have, we would have nothing. The ability to be able to work, the ability to be able to think. God has provided all of that. I spread it all out like a banquet. And then I let the door down. And I put them under the shepherd's rod. And as soon as the door opens, they all one by one come out. And I'm like, this one looks good. That one looks all right. Okay, this one's doing okay. And they come out one by one by one by one. And that's what God does for you. He puts you under the shepherd's rod. This one's got a wound. Get the ointment. This one's struggling. Somebody picked on it. Pour out the oil. And they flow under the shepherd's rod, and I check them all out. Are they okay? Are they all right? And that's how I feel about you. Are they okay? Are they all right? Is everybody at Glad Tidings all right? And I'll say, Lord, is there anybody today that I need to check on? Because they're a good, strong group of people. They have a good relationship with the Lord. But is there anybody that's weak? Is there anybody that needs strength? Is there anybody that needs prayed for? Is there anybody that needs a call? You are strong people. I'm not raising people to be dependent on me, but God, right? But still, I care. How's Tiffany and the boys doing? How's this one over here doing? Does Abby need help? Does she need dinner tonight? Small things. Nothing major. They pass through the shepherd's rod, and they immediately just start eating up all the good things. Happy. I've never heard it so quiet. They're all at peace. They're all okay. Do you see the Father's heart? Do you see how Father cares? He cares. He cares. I'll rub their feathers. When I go get their eggs, I'm like, oh, I'm sorry I have to get your eggs, but that's what this is all about. No matter how hard it has been, or even how painful or costly, or how sometimes I don't want to go out in 6-degree weather, I go. I go because there is great joy in doing it. I enjoy it. I enjoy it. And despite all the evil in the world, and despite all the things that are happening, the foreknowledge of God, seeing all things, he still made man, not because he needed them, but because he wanted them for joy. It made him joyful. And he saw what he had made, and he said, this is very, very good. You see, our God he doesn't have to have us. He's self-sufficient in his own sufficiency. He's glorious in his own glory. He's beautiful all by himself. He has no need or no want. He's altogether lovely in who he is. But he desired to make man because he wanted to. Knowing all the things that they would do, he still made them. And that's a love I am still trying to understand. If that isn't love, the ocean is dry. There's no stars in the sky. And the sparrows can't fly. If that isn't love, then heaven's a myth. And there's no feeling like this. If that isn't love, he loves us so much that he allowed his own son to come and take our place. For the joy set ahead of him, he endured the cross, despising its shame, for the joy of having us with him. He says, let this same attitude and purpose in Philippians 2, 5 and 11, let this same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was in Christ. Let him be your example in humility. That's really the beauty of it, is the humility that he expressed in coming to be in the form of man. Who, although being essentially one with God and in the form of God, possessing the fullness of the attributes which make God God, did not think this equality with God was a thing to be eagerly grasped or retained. But he stripped himself of all privileges and rightful dignities, so as to assume the guise of a servant, a slave, in that he became like men and was born a human being. And after he had appeared in human form, he abased and humbled himself still further and carried his obedience to the extreme of death, even the death of the cross. And therefore, because he stooped so low, God has highly exalted him and has freely bestowed on him the name that is above every name, that at that name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. When I look at the chickens, I think, here I am, at this place where they care for me. I care for them. I have to provide for them. I need to take care of them. I need to do what I can to make sure they're okay. I stoop low to get down on their level and pet them and to make sure they have everything they need. And that's exactly what God did for me. Another lesson, right? Another lesson. Another lesson. I could see God doing that for me and you. And for all mankind, whether they accept the gift or not, that's the amazing thing about it, is that Jesus died for sinners. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And he died for us all, whether we accept the gift or reject it. understanding these things about God in this way and all these things that He's revealing to me just brings so much joy in my heart because I see things from a different perspective. One thing that I learned from this and the way that God was teaching me is, as I've said before, that there's so much joy on the other side of it. There's so much joy on the other side. Every time I go out, I see them healthy and strong. I grab eggs. I get joyful. I come in with my little basket of eggs. I'm so happy. How many eggs did you get today, Rebecca? Well. And I get excited because they're bearing fruit, even in the winter. Many have said, well, my chickens aren't laying eggs in the winter. You know, it's cold. Well, if you had a heater in your chicken house, I mean, an electric. There is just joy in doing it because I see God in it. I see God in it. I see even all the things that Brian did. Every little thing to make this, you know, the chicken house special, the electric he put in, the heaters he found for me, all the things that he did, I see his love for me, and that brings me joy. It's the little things. Please look for the little things. You know, when they made you the coffee, you know, when they did these small little things for you, When God does small things for us and makes a way for us and we didn't recognize it maybe at the moment, but then later we see it, right? Look for those. Because that is joyful that God is caring for you like that. And make sure that you worship Him and praise Him for it. I have truly learned this valuable lesson that there is no reward without sacrifice, and there is no joy without going through difficult things. It's kind of like an athlete training for a win. There's always attached to these joyful moments something that was very costly. And they're inseparable. For every cross, there's a crown. For every difficult thing, there's joy on the other side. Death is a reality, but eternity is even more real than that for those who are in Christ. And so this is the lesson that God taught me on this day. That the joy of the Lord is my strength, not because I feel strong in my body, but because His presence is with me. And that when He teaches me things about eternity and about Himself and about life, that gives me such joy and strength knowing that He is with us in all of the things that we go through in life. Amen. Amen. So let's stand up to our feet this morning. Father, we're so grateful for Your Spirit in this place today and for each and every person, each person in this place and listening online and on radio. They have all went through difficult things. Maybe over the last 2 years, it has really shaken all of us. And if we'll listen and if we'll hear, You're trying to show us things, parables and lessons that if we will open our ears, our eyes, and our hearts, we will see God revealing Himself to us in this time. We will hear James saying, count it all joy when you enter into diverse trials, knowing that the trial of your faith worketh patience. There's joy on the other side of that trial. There's joy on the other side of that difficult moment. Death doesn't have power for a believer, because on the other side of death, for a person who has put their faith and trust and hope in Jesus Christ, there is eternal life with the Father. And that joy far outweighs any difficult thing that we could ever go through in this world. That's what you're reminding us this morning, Lord. There's joy on the other side of this trouble. There's joy on the other side of a tomb. There's joy in knowing you and having you walk us through difficult seasons and times. You are our joy and you are our strength. And when we can't walk, you carry us. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior and you are trying to navigate through these difficult times that are ever more shaking these foundations built on sand, and you're trying to find joy in the midst of it, but you're trying to do that apart from Christ, it will be very difficult to have a good perspective in a storm and find joy in it. Some will drown themselves in alcohol, some in drugs. Some will spend all of their money trying to feel a moment of happiness. But true joy is deep-seated, and it comes from knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. He doesn't say that if you accept Him as Savior, you'll never go through difficult things. He just simply says that when you go through those things, I will be with you and I will be your strength, your hope, your joy. If you don't know Him today, I pray that you would accept Him as your Savior, that you would acknowledge that your life without Him is sinful. No one comes to God unless the Spirit draws, and no one comes to God unless they first acknowledge that they are a sinner. They are a sinner in need of a Savior, and the only Savior is Jesus Christ. There is no other way into eternal life except through the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He is the plumb line, and He is the only acceptance that God will accept. When we humble ourselves and say, I confess my sins, that my life without you is a train wreck, and God, I want to be with you in eternity. I need help. I need help. And we confess our wrongdoing and our sins. The Bible says that He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Then we just pray that He will fill us to the fullest measure of the divine presence of God through the Holy Spirit, baptize us in His power, and walk with us until He brings us home. If you have walked away from the Lord and you have backslidden in this time of shaking, I pray that you will return. There are many that in this time have walked away from the foundation, that solid foundation of Jesus, and are trying to find joy in the world and in sinful pleasures. But trust me, whatever the enemy has tempted you with, he will end up choking you with it. Joy is found in eternal life through Christ Jesus. Return back to Christ. Repent of your sins and your waywardness and accept Jesus as your Savior. For those who continue on in the faith, regardless of the difficulties, may God give you greater strength in the Holy Spirit. May he become more near and dear to you in this time than he ever has in your entire life. May you have the revelation and the wisdom and the knowledge of God that he expresses and reveals to you through the Holy Spirit and his word. May you hear his voice. May you have dreams and visions. May he speak to you in songs and revelations. May you know in this hour the purpose to which you have been called and obtained to it through him. And this I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, and amen.